Hey, it's Mark Daniels, and welcome to the Weekend Pod, a look back at an interview from one of our shows in the past week. Don Yeager is one of our great authors when it comes to sports books, 11 New York Times best-selling books. And Don joined our program earlier this week to look back at one of the most influential college football games ever, the famous 1970 game between USC and Alabama. It was 50 years ago of that football game that many believe changed college football in many ways when it came to integration, particularly in the South. Don's book, The Turning of the Tide, How One Game Changed the South, took a look back at that game and how Bear Bryant played a significant role in what became the new norm when it came to college football in the SEC. The Weekend Pod, our interview with author Don Yeager.
I want to start, can you explain life in the 60s in the South and college football at the time in the 60s in the South?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the time, most teams were largely integrated, right? There were black college football teams. In fact, some of the greatest games ever played were between some of those historically black college football teams that would. In fact, I think I read about one game in which 60 participants in the game at one stage would go on to play at some time in the NFL. But all that talent wasn't being recruited to the big SEC, ACC, Southern schools, the big schools, right? Because there just was this sense like, oh man, you know, are we ready for that? And then a few schools started bringing one, two, maybe a couple of African Americans onto their squad. But there was this widespread sense that nobody in the South was going to become a wholesale recruiter of blacks until Bear Bryant got into the mix, right? Bear had to be, he was a standard bearer. And so as late as 1970, which is a crazy thing to think about, right? 1970, Alabama had yet to field a varsity football team that had a black player on it. And that's where things stood when the game we're going to talk about came to be.
Bear's at Kentucky, and he doesn't find support to bring a black player aboard, but he dominates when he gets to Alabama, and I guess many argue that there was no need to do it, but he got pushback on the political side, right? Governor Wallace opposed it. What was that like as Bear tried to do it at Alabama, but he had success in the field?
Yeah, and that, I mean, in its own way, right, his success became kind of a prohibitor, or made it more difficult for him to argue why integration was necessary. As it happened toward the end of the 60s, Alabama wasn't quite as good as it had been. And you had the situation where big Northern and Western schools, Michigan State, USC, were fully integrating and were, you know, and black players are winning Heisman trophies and were being called the best players in the game, but they weren't playing at these schools right down the street from the hometowns they lived in.
It takes two great coaches to meet somewhere. So tell me how John McKay and Bear Bryant met to get an idea become reality.
So it's one of the great stories of kind of untold stories of college football was that in after the 1969 NCAA convention, one of the things that occurred was that every school in America was allowed to add one game to their schedule starting the next fall, right? And so Bear Bryant realized he had an open slot on his fall schedule, And he jumped on an airplane and flew to Los Angeles. And when he arrived there, he had actually arranged and called in advance and had John McKay come to the airport to meet him. And Coach McKay had one of his assistants with him. And so they meet at the airport in this lounge area. And Coach Bryant pulls Coach McKay away and says, look, we have this open slot on our schedule, and we'd love you to come to Birmingham and play against us in Legion Field, not over in Tuscaloosa, but in Birmingham. And we'd like you to play against us in Legion Field, and we'll pay you X amount of dollars, and we'll do this and we'll do that. McKay said, you know what, we'll be glad to do that. But by the way, we want you back here to come play in 1971 against us in the Rose Bowl, right? So the two teams just made this deal, but it was out of the limelight. It wasn't, the beauty of it is, had Bear Bryant had to schedule this game 5 to 7 years in advance, which is when, you know, most schedules are actually made, he probably couldn't have pulled it off, right? And McKay, as he was walking out, his assistant said, well, what's Bear Bryant doing? And McKay looked at his assistant and said, he's hunting, but I'm not sure yet what for, right? McKay didn't quite get it until the game happened. And he realized Bear was trying to make sure that his own fans and all those elected officials that were standing in his way watched the fully integrated team play on a field, play together, and frankly beat the snot out of his team that night, and do so with dignity and class.
It's not that he, I mean, as you write, others have talked about, Bear kind of had an idea how the outcome might go, but in a way he couldn't have scripted it because of performances like Sam Cunningham and others. The game itself was the best-selling piece, I would bet, for Bear Bryant to say, look at this and understand what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was, I mean, he couldn't have planned for it. It was not on national TV, you know, back in those days. Only one game per Saturday was on national TV. It was just the game. But you know, for the fans who were in the stands, it was visual evidence of the idea that in order for Bear to be able to field a competitive team nationally, right, nationally in the future, he was going to have an integrated team.
How fast did things change? I've read and saw a recent interview, Sylvester Croom, who went on to coach, become the first black coach in the SEC, talk about, you know, what it was like to be among the first players. How fast did it take change to happen, both at Alabama and across the SEC? As you mentioned, there were teams that had one or two players, but what was it like in the years to come?
Well, so, I mean, the very next year, Alabama had two black players, right? Wilbur Jackson, who actually was a freshman. The freshmen were not eligible to play in 1970. And so he'd been recruited by Bear, and Bear had told him, it's going to get tough on you, right? This will be tough. You will be walking on a field, and there will be people who will not want you there. But you're the right guy to help us, you know, in many ways. One of Bear's assistants told me when I wrote the book, Wilbur Jackson was the right guy like Jackie Robinson was, you know. He was from a small town in Alabama. He'd been through integration once because his high school had just been integrated the previous year. So he'd seen the challenge and the pride, but he also knew what sports could do to help break down barriers. And he was the kind of player that was going to be special, and he was. He ultimately became a captain. And then the other African-American who played for Bear in 1971 was John Mitchell, who was also a defensive end, who was also from Alabama, but because he couldn't play at Alabama, had gone to junior college out in Arizona. And so he was, you know, he got to be in that first class. And actually, because he was a junior, the next year when he was a senior, he was voted team captain by his teammates. And then the year after that, Wilbur Jackson was voted team captain. So two were on the 1971 squad, three more, including Sylvester Croom, joined the team in 1972. You know, slowly but surely, the numbers added up. By the time the 1970s were done, they had 18 black players in the team, and they had won three national titles in the 1970s with integrated teams.
Alabama won the 71 game going out there 17-10. When John McKay realized what was happening, what did McKay think when he saw what Bear's, not plan, but what Bear envisioned out of this?
He actually called it one of the most genius things he'd ever seen another coach do. And he was honored to have been the coach that Bear chose to help make it happen.
The book again, Turning of the Tide, and a great story, great read. And again, it's 50 years this past week of that famous game of Alabama and USC, and the story that comes from it. Again, Don's new book is Facing Fear. With Nick Olenda and the unique story that he is. And you can find that where you get all of your favorite books. And Don is on Twitter at Don Yeager and at his website as well. Don, I really appreciate the time and the look back. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you very much. Looking forward to staying in touch.
A big thanks to Don Yeager for joining us to look back at that famous football game in 1970. And Bear Bryant and John McKay with a handshake set the stage for a game that today still resonates across college football. Join us every weekend for the Weekend Pod. If you miss any of our shows or our interviews, find them like you found this one where you get your favorite podcast. Just type in The Beat of Sports. Catch us every weekday, 8:30 in the Bridge with Mike, and The Beat of Sports kicking off at 9:30. Scott Harris produced. I'm Mark Nados. Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Pod.